Thank you, guys. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Victor. And now we welcome Victor's spouse, Nian Doherty, who we borrowed from Unity Temple on the plaza today. And he's giving our message and guiding us in the burning bowl. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a habit of walking around, so I better be careful with that. So again, thank you so much, Gary. And thank you to my beloved Victor. It's been a while since I've gotten to co-minister with Victor, so this is a very special day for me. So, you know, you guys know Victor pretty well. He's been here quite a bit. Since you know him, you probably know that he has a musician's advantage in our relationship, right? Yeah, you already know what this is. So what that means is, you know, my sermons take a good, 20 minutes on average to give. And his sermon takes all of a song, right? So if I have a qualm with him, before I could even begin to make my introduction, he has me singing along.
Let it go.
I'm not going to sing here today. Let it go and let it fly. You win, honey. Right? Let it go and let it fly. You know, in a way, as I was reflecting on this, it really is a win-win situation, as I'm sure you've guessed. And what that means is having a musician, the guest musician, as my spouse, also means that if I were to elect to feel called by Spirit to change the song a day before we're about to do the service, I don't even have to make a phone call. I just holler on downstairs, and there it is. Right? Let it go and let it fly. I asked Victor to sing this for us today because as I sat with what was mine to bring forth here today for you, I kept hearing those words, let it go and let it fly. Let what fly? Let your spirit fly. Let it soar. Our spirits were meant to be free, right? Our spirit was meant to be boundless, unhampered by our past, whether it's our personal past, whether it's our family's past, whether it is the past of the race that we were born into. We were born to be free and unbounded by the past. We were born to live spaciously, right? To live wide open so that we can generously give and receive love. We were born to be magnificent. We were born to shine. We were born to be brilliant. We were born to love unconditionally, to serve without bias, and to prosper without limitation. We were born to fly. Yes?
Yes!
Yes. We were born to fly. And most of us, especially if we have a daily practice of prayer and meditation, most of us, for most of the time, can stay deeply grounded and steeped in this lovely, blessed truth, right? But even the best of us can sometimes find that even when we practice our spirituality on a daily basis, that sometimes over a period of time, we start to like accumulate in our consciousness like this old debris, you know? Maybe it's like ideas from our parents or our grandparents that we've stored like old treasures in the attics of our consciousness, holding on to them. Or maybe it's as we go through like our everyday experiences, we don't necessarily allow the experiences to simply move through us, but we decide what gets to come in and what gets shut down. And so those experiences, the emotions, and the thoughts that we deem unsuitable, inappropriate, we don't let actually move through us. We repress them into the basement of our consciousness. And so we hold on to all of this. And it's because of this that even when we have a steady spiritual practice, that rituals like the one that we're doing today, the burning bowl and letter writing ritual, become so ultra important. Because it's a time when we can consciously come together after having accumulated a little bit of yuck, right, over the course of the year, to consciously and in community start to release it. So I want to share this with you today. I want to mention that for those of you who are new to this burning bowl ritual, I have to say that this is actually one of my very favorite services of all the services. I see some head nods, and I know that this is in part because it involves fire. And ever since I was a little kid and learned how to light a match, you know, just the amazement of what fire can do. Fire is creative, right? We light the Christ candle, and fire is destructive. Fire is transformative. You don't just mix things into fire. You put things into fire, and it transforms it. So I love fire. So, and also, the thing about this ritual, which I find valuable, is especially in unity, I think that our teachings can become a little bit abstract, and so it can be helpful to embody them in a physical act so that that which occurs in consciousness can be manifest more deeply rooted in the material or outer world. So, you know, thinking about flying as I was thinking about this, and I remember this awesome cartoon. Some of you might have seen this floating around on Facebook or social media. Basically, in this cartoon, there's this man at the airport, and he walks up to, I guess, the stewardess there, and there's a note that says, "Well, sir, you need to also pay for your emotional baggage." Yeah. And I thought, that's so true. And truly, if we really owned that, like as we prepare for the next stage of our life journey, if we knew that we really are paying for the baggage that we're carrying, what would we actually decide to leave behind, right? Because we do pay for it. And maybe with that baggage, they're not going to even let you on the plane, right? We can't even afford to fly with that kind of baggage. So the primary intention of today's burning bowl ritual is to support individually and collectively our release of at least some of this old baggage that is keeping each of us from flying as we were meant to do. So, there are two steps in today's process. So I'll explain each of them to you for those of you who are new to this. First, we'll have the letter writing. At that point, I'll invite you to focus your attention inward on that indwelling divinity, your innate wisdom, and to allow in that time a clear yes to manifest for you. A clear, yes, this is the next thing that my soul is called to be and to express starting now and moving on into the new year. And when we do that, we'll have a time of meditation that Victor is going to help lead us into. And then the second step of today's ritual is one that most of you are familiar with, I would guess, which is the burning bowl. And here, the important thing I want to say about this is that while the burning bowl ritual has been done for, say, 100 years now in New Thought churches, it's been done differently in different churches. And some people like to do the burning bowl before they do the letter writing. But as I led the service here with you last year, I prefer to do the letter writing before the burning bowl. And the reason is this. I believe that we should be led by our vision, not by that which we reject or are against. We should be led by our yes. And to that end, there's a Harvard professor who's actually in charge of like their negotiations department who wrote a book called The Power of a Positive No. And he writes this word of advice for issuing an empowered no rather than a no that breaks relationship, rather than a no that is angry at that which it wants to move away from. An empowered no, he says, goes like this. Instead of starting from no, start from yes. So you root your no in a deeper yes, a yes to your core interest and to what truly matters. Root your no in a deeper yes, a yes to your core interest and to what truly matters to your souls. So when I focus on my yes, then what I release becomes just a soft release. It's a moving toward what I want rather than a pushing against what I don't want anymore, what doesn't serve me anymore. When I move toward my yes, I move in lightness. I light that darkness. I know it can just gently be released from me. So I wanted to share a personal example just to illustrate for you before we start into the service that you'll be engaged in. So this is an example of how a no can be rooted in a bigger yes. So Victor and I actually did fly this summer. And yes, we took some emotional baggage with us, but not a lot. but we flew, just, realistic here. but we flew to Ireland for our belated honeymoon. And I can tell you, it was a phenomenal trip. It was one of those, like, everything just worked out perfectly. We ended up in a tour group, and the tour guides were these two shaman guys, one of them who was local, whom Victor knew from some men's retreat way back when. They happened to be doing exactly the time that I was available to go on vacation from Unity Temple in the Plaza. Otherwise, they keep me tied up pretty strictly. But it was perfect timing. I got to go, and the whole group, it was only eight of us, it was an intimate group of all people from different spiritual walks of life. You know, some were yoga folks, some were Unity, and so there was a variety. So what I loved about this is it was a spiritual group, but also what many people don't know, because here, they see some Asian American from Orange County, and you would never think that I've had this lifelong dream of going to Ireland, but it's true. I mean, I have this thing where ever since I was a little girl, I loved horses, and I had images of like rolling green hills. I loved Celtic crosses and Celtic knots, and who would have thunk it that I would have ended up marrying an Irishman?
The
luck of the Irish. So this was all sort of in me already from years back. But what was interesting is what I said yes to was not, hey, you want to go on a trip to Ireland? Someone says 10 years ago and I start planning for it. No, not at all. What I said yes to way back when in California was my call to ministry. That was what was clear. That was what was alive for me. And I said yes to that. And immediately, when you say yes to something like that, everything that's not that kind of comes up for you, and then you have to learn to say no very quickly. No to the security of being a lawyer, which was what I did, in California. No to the prestige of being a lawyer. I didn't even like being a lawyer, but I had to grieve and die to that old sense of self that didn't even realize it was reaping the perks of being a lawyer. Even if I didn't like it, I had to grieve that loss. I had to lose that identity many years before I was to actually gain a new identity as a Unity minister. So there was so much, I lost my home in the process. I lost the relationship in the process. As I grew, as I kept saying yes to that next step, I realized what was not consistent with this part of my journey would have to go for me to fly. So as I said from the beginning, I believe that each of us is meant to fly, right? It's not just me. So it's your turn. I'm going to begin by inviting you to take a look at the letters, the envelopes, and the pieces of paper that you've been given. Consider this. You know, just like Ireland, like this future is kind of like a foreign landscape. And we don't know all the details of that landscape. Sometimes we only have glimpses of our future life through daydreams and through our nighttime dreams. But what can also help us glimpse that life and that light is time in the silence. So to support you in that, I'll stop talking. And I'm going to invite Victor to bring you into a time in which you can tap in to the indwelling Christ light represented by that Christ candle and allow that to inform the next yes of your journey. And so, Victor.
So I invite you to take a moment to, before you get too busy writing, doing stuff, to kind of consult that inner landscape, let that inner voice